Today, we are imagining the possibilities with Tricia Oliva Milanic, Vice President, Global Regulatory Project Management and Operations. Tricia joined Intellia in June 2022. She has an impressive background working for some great companies, including Takeda, Biogen, Bluebird Bio, and most recently, 270 Bio. She holds a bachelor's degree from Suffolk University and is obtaining her MBA from Babson Olin Graduate School. When she isn't at work or school, she's playing the role of cab driver for her two kids, one who swims 6 days a week while the other plays hockey about 6 days a week as well. Let's dive right in. Hi, Tricia. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. In the show intro, we provided a quick introduction, but we'd love to have you start by introducing yourself and giving us your elevator pitch.
Sure. So, hi, everyone. I'm Tricia Oliva Milanic. I am the Vice President of Regulatory Project Management and Operations. I have been at Intellia for about a year and a half, which it does not seem to be that short. It feels like I've been here forever. My background is all different pharmas, but I actually started in IT, and so made the switch over into regulatory not too long ago, which has been just absolutely amazing.
That is interesting. Okay, I want to dive into that. But before I do, can you tell us more? Global Regulatory Project Management and Operations. Such an impressive title. Can you break that down a little bit? What does your day-to-day look like?
So my day-to-day is different every day. So underneath me, I have the project management group who does the project management for the different programs, right? So the way that it's structured is we have the program managers, and then for regulatory, we have our own regulatory project managers who really take on the day-to-day tasks of what our strategists and Reg CMC are to do. And so they are managing when we have major filings, what are we doing on a day-to-day basis? So they handle that aspect of it. And then the regulatory operations is broken down into two parts. There's regulatory information management, which handles the technology side of the house. So they're handling our RIM system, so regulatory information management system, where we store every filing, we store communications with the health authorities, the commitments that we agree to as a company, how we want to handle them. That's TJ. He manages all of that. And then we have the publishing side of the house. So whenever we send anything to a health authority, it needs to be managed through the publishing group. And so we have two people that handle the publishing, and they break it up by based off of the programs. So we had one person doing 2001. We had another person doing 2002. And they really do, the group of them, all of them, work together so seamlessly. It is really fantastic. So they talk to each other on a very regular basis. They pass stuff along. They really partner together to make sure that anything we're bringing up to the agencies is full and complete. So that's kind of the structure, the first part of what I do. So the other side of what I do is what I do. And it's more of, I have vendor management. So I manage all of our contracts and partnerships. I manage the entire regulatory budget. Wow. I manage regulatory, sort of managing regulatory intelligence. It's an aspect that we are planning to bring in. I do kind of a chief of staff for all of regulatory. And so I manage kind of across the board. Anything that is not really strategy or CMC, I don't handle those, but anything else that hits regulatory generally hits me first.
That is so helpful. I think most people listening to this podcast would be familiar with biotechs, but we like to categorize ourselves as career focused first at a high level. So maybe for someone outside of biotech, can you explain a bit more about what the regulatory department does for a biotech company?
So regulatory really manages how we submit things to the agencies. So we work very closely, if you're looking at kind of like, here's the biotech doing all of the science and making sure that they can move things along through the process. Regulatory works with clinical to make sure that our clinical sites are set up and we have a good partnership. And we also have that bridge where we work with all the health authorities. So FDA, EMA, all of the individual health authorities that exist, we do the communications with them. So we'll send all of the filings to them. When we have meetings, generally regulatory is in the room and kind of partnering to get the information that we need in order to be able to manage the Intellia work. So we have a little bit of a split role.
Very, very interesting. Great. And then how did you first learn about Intellia and what drew you to apply?
I paid attention to Intellia when they did their first submission, they set out the announcement that the first patient was treated. And I had friends who went to Intellia. So I would pay attention. Occasionally we would talk. It was kind of like just one of those companies that I had like on the side that I would pay attention to and watch what they were doing. And then when my role came up that they were hiring for my role, I'm like, this is it. This is how I get in there. and so I ended up applying and coming into the company, but it was really about watching how Intellia announced things and what the communication was like, because it made me think, I'm like, that's a company I want to be at. They don't make huge deals of everything that they do, and they also don't undermine what they do. So it was really interesting to watch the communications coming out and to be able to watch all of the work that was going on within the group. So the minute there was a chance for me to apply, I took it.
That is awesome. Really fascinating. And a good tip in there about just monitoring a company and what to look for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And being able to notice, you know, intentionality and what different companies are posting. So you are based here in Cambridge, but a good number of your team members are remote. So how do you all stay connected and build that teamwork when you're not, you know, all in the same place in Cambridge?
So my team is fantastic. They all work together so well. Chris is a senior director in the publishing world, but he'll tell you that Nicole, who is his employee in publishing, he's like, it's amazing to me because they just share information. They talk about everything. They're great. So we have one person in California. We have one person in Colorado. We have a bunch of people sprinkled throughout Massachusetts. My manager is in California. My peer is in California. And so we make a point about 3 or 4 times a year for everyone to meet up in one location. So we do different trainings. So we've had presentation trainings come up where we brought everyone in and we talked about presentations and how we want to share that information. We are going to be doing a negotiation class coming up the end of Q1. So we're bringing in somebody who's going to work with the team on how best to negotiate with the agencies and what information they're looking for, and how they're looking for it. We also do a offsite once a year where we all come in and we talk about, here are the open issues within the department, within the company. Here's what we want to work on. And we work together as a large group. So while we have people remote, we make an intention to have them. So my team is really remote. We have an every week we meet, and we meet as a group and we talk about, you know, silly stuff. We also talk about like what's going on and how we're going to solve it. So you see a lot of everybody's kind of chiming in on, have you thought about this? Can you think about that? That type of conversation. So it doesn't really feel like everyone is super far away. The thing that throws me the most is the time. I'm the worst person because I'll send a message like, TJ is our regulatory information management person. He's in California. I'll be like, hey, did you think of? And then I look at the clock. I'm like, it is like 4:30 in the morning for him. Like, this is not. I'm like, hey, don't answer this for a couple of hours. Yeah. So I never want to wake people up, and I'm getting better about keeping that in mind, but it's so hard because we keep everybody so close and we have conversations all the time that it's so easy to forget that they're not right down the hall, that they really are across the country.
Wow. Yeah.
That's, yeah. And I'm sure that's something that so many other teams within Intellia, but also just generally the way that the workforce looks nowadays, that's something that's coming up more and more often. And it's obviously a testament to the team that you've built that everyone feels comfortable to speak up in those meetings that you have weekly and sort of obviously get to know each other, but also work together effectively. So that's awesome.
I love my team. Okay.
That's great. Switching gears a bit, we love asking folks who have advanced degrees like yourself, how did you decide to go for your MBA? We see that you started it in May 2023. So that's very exciting. If you could speak a little more about that decision.
Well, so I actually started in 22.
Wow.
And okay. So when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about kind of where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do, what I wanted like my growth to be. And I have my regular degree from Suffolk, and I have a ton of experience across biotech. And I was just thinking, you know, what is it that would increase my abilities, get me to think of things in a new and a different way? And so that's how I started on the path for my MBA. So the MBA is a little bit challenging, and it's very slow for me because not only am I managing my full-time job, I'm managing my two children who have a lot of stuff to do. And I have to give credit. My husband is wonderful. And it is truly a partnership because we are juggling kids all the time. And then, you know, finding that core time for doing the work. So it's a little bit challenging. It's a lot of fun. Looking at the different articles that we have to read for class and analyzing kind of where they came to, the decision they came to, or figuring out our own decision is definitely, it's one of those things that, like, we're talking about companies that I wouldn't have had exposure to. Yeah. There's one company that I actually ended up, I loved everything about it, and ended up signing up for their releases, and I get orders from them on a pretty regular basis. But I love it because I just love how they went about building their brand and continuing to grow. So them, I want to be like, I want to be really supportive. So it's a nice, it's great from a experience perspective. And, you know, I get some shopping done too.
Yeah. And are you doing this? Is it done remotely? Or do you go to classes in person?
Yeah. So it's a definite remote situation. I could never have driven out there. It's about a 45-minute drive each direction with two kids and all of their stuff going on. There wasn't a possibility of it fitting. So I really need to find a program that I could do remotely. And this one, Bentley, just really happened to fit everything that I was looking for.
That's great. And I'm sure you're building such, like you mentioned, a great network of just different people from different industries. It's great that you're able to do that, obviously, in a way that fits with your schedule as well.
One of the things that I found really helpful is a program called Chief, which is all female executives. So it's all VPs and above. And it's, what's great about it, one, you get people from across industries. So the people in my group, one was in banking, one was in resource technology in Atlanta, one was in global drilling, and she was all over the place. Last time I talked to her a month ago, she was in Dubai. So like really getting like a lot of like great experiences and understanding from people that has nothing to do with what we do. We talk about issues more on the general note, but the people that I've met through there are just amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah. I did my MBA at night as well, but I do not have children. So I give you major kudos. I cannot imagine throwing a family into the mix. That is so impressive. I'm curious, so if you have any advice for someone thinking about going back to school, but they may also have a family or work and juggling all of that, do you have any advice or one thing that finally pushed you over the edge to go for it?
So from the advice perspective, I would say that you need to make sure you need to take your time. And you have kids. Most of these schools allow you to take, you can take like 3 classes a semester, but if you have kids and a job and you're doing it from home, taking one and going a little bit slower is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, you're not moving as fast. And some of the people that are in your class may be going far ahead of you, but one, you get to meet way more people. True. My youngest one will stand and watch out of the camera, and she's super interested as to what's going on. She never doesn't want to be seen on camera, but she's so interested. And some of it, you know, we've talked about afterwards. So we make it a little bit more of a learning opportunity for everybody. But I'll be honest, like you taking that time for yourself and separating and having like the dedicated moments is really key. I can't say enough. My husband is amazing. And on those days, like we close the door, the curtains up, and he takes care of really most of it. And so that, you know, you have a moment or two to separate. It's also a little bit easier to separate work from it. If you are trying to like bring in your experiences from work, that's great, but not bring the company into it, not bring that up is also really good to be able to look at the situation at hand. And then later you apply it or think about it in relationship to the company is really important.
I love your story because my mom went for her master's at night when I was growing up. And it's actually part of the reason that I went for it and knew I could do it, because growing up I watched her do it, and I think that's so cute. Your daughter's watching you now. I'm sure you're gonna inspire her as well.
I would to show love that.
Super yeah, no, moms.
I will say my kids do really well in school. The little one, a little more focused on the sports, but the older one, she is getting ready to go to high school. Which, by the way, going to high school is like more of a commitment than going to than applying for college. It's
really
insanity.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's really challenging.
Wow.
She's so good. She's such a good worker. She takes on like additional aspects from her math class and her science classes. Like they just do such a good job. And I really hope, I don't believe, but I really hope that seeing me and their dad, you know, work and what we do and talking about things on a more general level, you know, helps them and kind of will hopefully inspire them as they get older.
Yes, I think it will. But that is so sweet. And actually goes nicely to our next question. Mentorship is a really big topic for us this season. I'm curious if you have a professional mentor and if you could tell us about that.
Yeah. The mentorship has really changed over the years. So when I started off in biotech, I actually started in IT.
And yes.
I worked in IT for years. And it was in 2017 I decided to switch. And the way that I was able to do that was I applied for a position that was open at Bluebird Bio. And it was in regulatory. And I explained what my transitional skills would be and how I could quickly adapt to what regulatory was and what they were looking for. And I will say, after I applied, I was very nervous. But when I met the team, I was like, I could so do this. And then I met the vice president of regulatory, and she was fantastic. And she was very much throughout my career at Bluebird and even into 270 and now. So her name is Anne Virginie Edmond. And she is, when I tell you, like randomly quick conversations, she would work in what you what is it you want to do? So one day we were up in our, up in the like lunch area, and there was a presentation going on and we were watching it. And she leaned over to me and she said, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. I wasn't supposed to be there. I just walked up there to get food and happened to see this presentation. And so we started talking about it. It was like a really, you know, 5-minute conversation, like behind the scenes. I would say about 6 or 7 months later, she said to me, okay, if you want to do this role, mm-hmm. these are the steps you need to take. I was blown away that she remembered what we talked yeah. about in a very quick conversation where I was grabbing a salsa water. She is somebody that, she's no longer a Bluebird, but she's somebody that I still talk to. Like if I have mm-hmm. any concerns, any thoughts of anything, I can ping her. And I know for a fact that she's going to respond, and it's going wow. to be super thoughtful. And it's just really nice knowing that there's someone you can reach out to kind of ping things off of. So she's mm-hmm. a great resource. She's one of my favorite people on the planet. I will say my current manager, Aaron Stein, he is also fantastic, because we'll be talking about work and then I'll bring up like a little side topic and we'll go deep into it. And it's really nice that it's not someone's like, okay, let's sit down and have a mentoring moment. Mm-hmm. It's very mm-hmm. much daily, like it's within our conversations, our regular conversations. We meet a couple times a week for one-on-ones. And it's just within the conversations that he points out certain things or he brings up topics. For me, that is the best, because yeah. I'm not good with like, this is the mentoring time and this is a conversation. Right.
Yeah.
I'm right. so much better with it being part of the conversation and him mm-hmm. kind of demoing what he wants to explain or what he wants to give off. So it's been really great. But the level of mentors that kind of flow throughout are totally important for the positions I was in at the time and where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. But for me, AV, which is her nickname, is always going to be like one of the top ones, because she's someone that if I don't talk to her for 6 months and then I send her a question or ask her something, when I tell you like it's not even 10 minutes, I get a fully thought out, great. Thorough response. Like she was waiting for me to ask this question.
Oh,
and
that's
that
awesome.
I appreciate immensely. She's wonderful.
Yeah. That is really special. And I think that's a nice message that folks will have or can have different mentors for different points in your life and your career. And that is a natural progression. I do want to go back though. IT to regulatory, holy moly, that feels like an impossible transition. I just think of regulatory as so many rules and it's so biotech specific, and IT I think of as like you can do it in any industry. Mm-hmm. How did you make that change, if that's even something you can summarize?
Yeah, so I started off in IT for Fidelity for a while. And then when I moved out to Colorado with my boyfriend, who's my husband now, because he was going to school. And so okay. there I started working at a hospital. And I really liked like what we were able to do and the services we were able to provide. Like one of my favorite projects was finding a way to have laptops available up on the cancer floor so that they didn't spread spores and they were safe for the kids to use, because I was working at the Children's Hospital in Denver.
Oh, wow.
It was an amazing job. I can't say enough about how great it was to work there. So when I moved back to Massachusetts and I started interviewing, and I interviewed with a company called Millennium Pharmaceuticals, and I loved what they were doing in the IT department. So I started working there. And I met an incredible manager. He let me kind of, throughout the years that I was there, try all these different things. So I would be deploying software to people's computers. Then I moved into process management and moved into owning the logging system. I worked with him through that. Then he ended up going to Biogen, and I went with him to Biogen. And there I started off more on the software side of the house mm-hmm. and then I started kind of doing service management. And so mm-hmm. mine was the desk that if it didn't fit anywhere else, it came to me. And so I had a great time learning all of these new things. I would literally say no to nothing because mm-hmm. I wanted to try it. And, mm-hmm. you know, so, okay, some things I'd be good at, some things not so good. But it was like really great that they gave me the opportunity to do it. In 2017, there was a lot going on. I felt like where I was within the IT space, I kind of maxed it out. Mm-hmm. And this position popped up on my screen, and it was basically taking all of those transitional skills that I had learned in IT and applying them to regulatory. And so when I applied to the role, I wrote a cover letter and I said, look, these are the skills you're looking for. Here's why my experience fits them and how we could actually use technology to make things easier within regulatory. And mm-hmm. so after I wrote that, I thought there's no way I'm going to get this, but it was a really good experience to apply for. And my first interview I had, and it was fantastic. Then I went in to meet AV and I got the offer. So when I got to Bluebird, it was like process management, right? So in IT, I was writing a ton of different processes. At Bluebird, I started writing different processes. And then there was a conversation about project management. I'm like, oh, well, we can just do this. And they were like, oh, so you can just do this. And I'm like, sure. So I ended up taking on regulatory project management. And so I went from process to obtaining the budget to doing regulatory project management and continued just to grow from there. So I mm-hmm. ended up bringing on the RIM system. We had mm-hmm. a RIM system. It was not configured correctly. We ended up refreshing the way that it was designed. So it was really, it was not IT, but there were a lot of IT thoughts with mm-hmm. it. And it was a really nice transition. So I was able to grow my role because mm-hmm. we were willing to try the different aspects that needed to happen. Like, it was just really great to be able to kind of explore, kind of zig and zag into different areas. And then the role came up for Intellia. And I'm like, this is where I need to go. Like, there isn't even a question. So it was really good to be able to have like all of these different experiences to draw on and pull from. It has been like an incredible journey.
Wow. That is a remarkable story. Yeah. So often I feel like I hear people say like, oh, my resume doesn't really tell the story, which is why, to your point, a cover letter is so important. But I give you major kudos because it is so brave to like just be like, I'm just going to try it. What do I have to lose?
it really was a, you know, try it moment.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that really worked for me and I think would work for others is mm-hmm. think about when you are putting together your resume, what does the new role need to understand about you? And I am such, like, as much as I hate writing cover letters, I am a massive cover letter fan. Only mm-hmm. because if you're doing a transition like this, mm-hmm. you can say to them, here's how those skills apply and how I would apply them to this role. And
absolutely,
that really helps.
So true.
It was huge.
That is awesome. I do a lot of campus recruiting, and oftentimes the kids ask, do I need a cover letter? And that is my golden rule too. If there's something you need to explain to us, if there's something not obvious on your resume to why you're applying, yes, I will look for a cover letter. I will read it to look for that explanation. So if you just take the time, but you're right, it's hard because it's typically unique to each company. So that is a lot of work for the candidate, but it does go a long way.
It's especially if it's a role like I really wanted to transition out of IT.
Right.
I really wanted that Bluebird role. And so like if there's a role you're going for mm-hmm. and it's something that really feels important to you, take the time.
Take it.
It is mm-hmm. so worth it to just put the little extra effort into it and yeah. explain to them what you want and mm-hmm. why you would be good for this. It's huge for me.
Yeah.
And I look forward when I'm hiring candidates.
Yeah. There you go. Good tip if anyone listening is joining Trisha's team. That is great. That's a really, really cool story.
I'm sure it also just, like you said, it just paints a picture of the whole person that's applying to the job rather than just, you know, the specific role titles they've held. on their resume.
And I'll be honest, like I look for someone who wants something and is willing to say like, this is what applies and this is why. We have on the regulatory project management team, he was originally applying for a prior company I worked at. He was a construction project manager.
Wow.
Really doesn't align totally with drug development. So he came in at a more junior role and explained why he would be able to take this on. He has been amazing ever since. If you can explain to me
how
you're going to bridge that gap, I'm in. Tell me what you think you're going to do that's going to make the difference. I'm really willing to look at that and understand it or ask you more questions about it. It's a great way to get in the door because I've had people who have applied before and I'm like, how does this apply?
I want to
talk to them because I want to understand this. They were positioned themselves very well to be able to explain what the difference would be. It's really finding not just the people that fit your current roles, but who are able to explain to you like how they can make their past history build on what you're doing. And that I love.
I wish every hiring manager was like you. This is like the music to our ears and what we try and tell people because it's so true. No one also wants to take a job that they're doing the exact same job right now because how is that helping them grow?
It's not. It doesn't really. And the big thing for me is I want people who are super interested in growing. And I want people who are going to like stretch a little bit and try out new things. And you know, don't get me wrong. I love the people who, you know, just want to do this and I love it and I'm good at it and I just want to do this. That works for me too. Right. So they both work. You just need to be able to explain like how it works for that new position.
That's great.
And then our last question before we go into our rapid fire finale questions is what is next for your career?
Oh, goodness. You know, it's so hard because I love what I do. So one of the things that we are looking to do is add on additional things within regulatory. So we're looking at adding on regulatory intelligence, which is going to be a broader group. Not just regulatory, it'll bring in other aspects of the company and will build kind of that regulatory intelligence. So that's kind of the next thing that's up, that's most immediate. Longer term, you know, it's so hard because I love what I do and I love the people that I'm doing it with that, you know, I feel perfectly happy. But when I have a map and I'm looking at like, here are the next things that we need to progress. So like in regulatory project management, we're talking about how we'll grow our area and how we present that. So we're doing that in the different areas. So right now it's really about expanding what regulatory project management and operations looks like, because there's so much that we can do.
Yeah.
And there's so many outside groups that I'm a part of, right? So they have the HERO group, which is all leaders of regulatory operations. And we all talk about like, what's coming next? What about AI? How do we incorporate
that? That's across the industry?
That's across the industry.
Oh, cool. Cool.
So we talk about different things like that. And there's so much new and there's so much coming that... I can't think of anything outside of my world right now because there's so much opportunity that we have within regulatory and things that we want to do. The agencies right now are working on expanding their roles and expanding how they want to do things. And so we're thinking about, okay, if they're going to do this, then we need to do that in order to meet it.
Yep.
So it's really... within regulatory, it's like a good space for me. And I love the constant challenge of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And it seems like everything's constantly changing as well. So it's probably going to be hard to feel stagnant and bored in your role, like you said.
It really does feel that way. Like it sounds that like everything's moving so quickly. The one thing in regulatory is everything moves at a kind of mid to slow pace. Right? Yeah. So you're like planning for like 30 years from now at the rate that we move. But it's so interesting. And it's there's different aspects because we got to bring in the technology. We got to bring in the publishing. There's things that we need to do from a project management perspective. So it's actually, you know, it moves. It feels like we're moving super fast when the health authorities are moving relatively slower.
That's great.
Okay, we will now enter our rapid fire finale question. So for these, you don't have to, you know, think long and hard about them. Just sort of say the first thing that comes to your mind. So our first question is, what is a hidden talent of yours?
Oh, God. I knit and crochet on a pretty regular basis.
Ooh.
So fun.
It's just a way to like zone out.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to make?
Right now, I'm in the midst of making a blanket, which is probably one of the bigger projects. But when my oldest daughter was little, I would knit her sweaters. All of her Christmas Eve dresses were all hand-knit. Those I loved.
I hope you save those for like your future grandchildren.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Some of her dresses for Christmas are gorgeous. I love them now.
That's cool. That's a good one.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a great hobby. Our next one is, what is something you're currently working on in your role that you're excited about?
I'm excited about a lot of parts of my role. Okay. Right now we're working on, one thing I'm working on is the project management vision. And so we're visioning out what we will see for probably the next year and a half to 2 years for project management. So about a year ago, we brought PM in, and now we're mapping it out for where do we see it going, what additional aspects will they take on, and how will that grow. So that's one area that I'm working on. The other area that I'm loving is building out the career maps for all of the different functions.
And for anyone listening, the career ladders are a fascinating topic. It's across the entire company that people are mapping out what each level in a group can be. And then we're going to make them available to the whole company so that if someone wanted to look at internal mobility and see what it takes to be in your role, for example, that is written out.
Yeah, it's been great. So we did a first round and we did a review with everybody. And now we're doing kind of like a, like now that we've had it for a little bit, we're looking at it again to make sure that, you know, some of the language is like, they, you know, seems very like high level. We want to put in more language that says, if they are practicing in this space, we want this is the level they should be in. So we're doing it more. So we did a high level wording first, and now we're doing a more kind of specific wording so that we can everyone can really look at them and map where they are within it. Cause it could be some of the language, the way that it was, could be interpreted. And we wanted to make sure it was really clear for everybody, like what it is that we're looking for.
That's great.
That's awesome. I'm sure those will be so helpful.
I love them.
And yeah, I love them too. And our last question that we ask every person at the end of our podcast is, what is your favorite thing about working at Intellia?
So my favorite thing has to be the people. From the group that I work in all the way up to John Leonard, who, when he explains things, he's being completely real. Like, you don't have a CEO who's telling you this like grandiose plan and overly excited. He's so real. And he shares things on such a real level that you totally understand what it is he's looking for. You completely understand where the company is. I so greatly appreciate that. I love the realism of John, and I love the teamness of my team. I love the ability to reach out and bring other people in from across the company. I love their, you know, really kind of low key, yeah, we'll totally get it done attitude. It is a really, really great place to be in.
That's great. Love to hear that.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I feel like we should have had you on seasons ago because you are like a career expert.
Yeah, truly.
good luck with your MBA program. We'll have to have you back once you finish so you can tell us what you feel like has changed.
Yeah,
will do.
Thanks.
Thanks.